Hello, everyone. My name is Lara Eady, and welcome to the Notes Between podcast. And today's special guest of the hour is none other than folk singer extraordinaire Daisy Chutes. Daisy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Lara.
How's it going? How's your day been so far?
My day's been good. I've had a Zoom meeting already today, and which was good. And I've just been doing a little bit of administration work, the kind of stuff that's not very exciting to do or to talk about, but it has to be done.
Sure. Well, I'm
but the meeting was nice. It was actually about my musical, which I'm sure I'll talk about later on in the podcast.
Amazing. Yeah. I am so excited to have you here, Daisy. And before, obviously, folks, you just heard that Daisy also, beside from being a songwriter, acclaimed singer, songwriter for others, songwriter for herself, multi-instrumentalist, she also happens to be writing a musical, which we'll get into later. I'm really excited to have Daisy on today, as you can tell. And so I just want to talk a little bit about announcing who she is, basically, so you get to know her. So she's become a staple in the London and UK folk scene, as well as Scotland, where she's originally from. And she's released acclaimed EPs, Songs of Solace, released in 2021, and Cradle Songs, 2022. She's played amazing festivals such as, to name a few, the Bristol Folk Festival, Cambridge Folk, and numerous sets at Glastonbury, if I remember correctly. And she is also writing a musical called Coven, which I am so excited for her to talk about. And her music has been featured across the nation on BBC Radio, globally across 900 Cafe Nero playlists. That's astounding. My jaw just dropped. And recently, her album Songs of Solace has just won the Fatea Awards, which is insane. So congratulations for that. She is also sponsored by Loden Guitars, which is incredible. And she's recently won and featured on the Coffee Music Project. So we're dealing with someone of the highest ever caliber, and I know her personally, so I have to say, as impressive as her bio is, Daisy is probably one of the most modest songwriters I know. So with that in mind, Daisy, I'm dying to know, because I think that's something that everyone wants to know. How did you become a songwriter?
Well, I've started off with singing, really, and it took a long time to get confident in my songwriting and to be able to share it with people. And my voice is a bit croaky.
<It's>
got sort of that croaky jazzy voice going on.
Dusty Springfield.
Exactly. Yeah. My first ever gigs. I was very young. I was 9 years old when I first did any music performances professionally. Wow. And I was actually in a musical in Les Miserables. And then following that, I continued performing, and I was writing, but just kind of quietly and shyly in the background. And I actually, after doing that, I trained in classical and jazz music, as you know, because we have a similar background with our training. And I was a chorister for a few years. And then after that, I actually recorded a jazz album when I was 15, very young.
Wow.
And then following that, I did. I ended up being in this classical vocal quartet called All Angels, and we did three albums together and lots of touring. And I sort of, so that was all very much doing other people's music all throughout that. And I was kind of, as I say, still writing away, squirreling away, writing away in the background, but never really knowing how to put it out there yet. And I also just being so busy with everything I was doing, because I was still studying and also being in this band. And yeah, and so I started arranging for the band, and actually that sort of started flexing my muscles a bit as a writer. And then after that, after the band sort of stopped being active, I suddenly had more time in my schedule to be able to do some more songwriting and more performing of my songs. And so I started going to songwriting retreats, and that was the best thing I could have done, because it was such a confidence boost for me as a young and apologetic songwriter. And having those kind of communities and those retreats that you get, that really helped me along and made me realize that I had something maybe to offer it. And that encouragement, yeah, just sort of fed me for the next periods. And so I started writing more and more and performing. And I actually joined another band who'd already been active before I was part of it. And they were looking for a singer. And it was a sort of folky band. So this is my mm-hmm. first time trying to do anything folky, in, wow. really in a different, in, you know, rather than classical and jazz. Mm-hmm. And so I started playing banjo around that time too.
Oh, that's where the banjo so, came in.
Yeah, amazing. So I kind of, yeah, the guitar, I'd always been playing the guitar, but I studied it, you know, as a classical instrument as a kid. So I would do Spanish guitar music and this kind of thing. And then sort of started doing chords when, you know, when I was like just at home alone. And then, yeah, when I started playing with this band, I played the guitar and the banjo and the ukulele and all those kind of things. And then and started writing with them and gigging in pubs and bars in London. And it was quite a shock from the kind of All Angels days of performing at places like the Albert Hall, you know, with incredible mm-hmm. orchestras and, you know, all this kind of very exciting and very glamorous lifestyle that is. And then, mm-hmm. you know, performing to a pub of like five people and sticky floors and nobody listening and, you know, all the stuff. But actually, I realized I really needed to go through that because I, you know, I had a kind of topsy-turvy start. You know, I started off with quite big things and then kind of had to do the reverse and like go back to the roots of playing those kind of small venues and in fact I actually preferred it because when I played in those big venues like Albert Hall and mm-hmm. O2 Arena and all these kind of incredible spaces that everybody aspires to play, you know, I didn't find them as good as I thought they might be, you know, in terms of I didn't have that connection with an audience that you do when you play the smaller
Absolutely.
Venue. And
Absolutely.
You kind of feel very remote from your bandmates too, because the stage is so big, you're so spread out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very weird experience. It doesn't feel very natural to me and doesn't feel very direct with an audience. And so I actually really prefer the smaller intimate gigs anyway. So, yeah.
Wow. I mean, you've just, so folks, I just should let you know, prepared what I thought was an elaborate set of questions, which Daisy quite effortlessly just answer them all. So this is going
no,
to be...
I'm sorry. I messed up your plan.
So this is the point of this podcast. It's in conversation talking about songwriting, and actually that can veer towards the next question. I'm just blown away by what Daisy just went into, because much like conversation, songwriting, as we all know as songwriters, can be both methodical in its approach. You know, we can follow a certain system or a guide, mm-hmm. set of guides, but also it can be very much like this conversation, very flowy and very organic. So my next sort of point of discussion, I don't want to say question because we're in an amazing conversation, is you mentioned a few beautiful things, and one of them I'd like to focus on, mm-hmm. which is how you went back to, I guess I want to say, the art of song, because you went from the mega stages which you were touring, and so you were already very comfortable as a performer, and then you went back to what it's all about really, which is audience connection. I think no matter what genre, you mentioned folk, but I think it also goes beyond that, which you well know from yourself coming from a multi-genre background. And you mentioned attending retreats. Could you just describe, let's say, a moment or two even of how you knew that, okay, this is where I want to be in those retreats, like if you can, you know, elaborate.
Absolutely, yeah. well, I mean, the art of song, that's a great way of putting it. Yeah, it is an art, and it's a craft, and it's something you can learn, and it's something you can hone. And sometimes songs do come out really naturally, and it's amazing. It feels like there's some sort of, you're a vessel to something else going on. And sometimes you have to work and work and work and work, and sometimes they never get finished, or they take years, you know, look at Leonard Cohen's Hallelujah, for instance. And, you know, we're both fans of Leonard Cohen.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that I've always, so throughout all the kind of performing of classical music and jazz music, I've always loved other people's music and very much admired other composers and loved interpreting it. But I always aspired to be the writer of it as well. But I never really, as I said, never had the opportunity earlier on, or the confidence early on as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that I mean, the first writing retreat I actually went on before I even did the jazz album, I did a writing retreat when I was 15,
Wow.
And that was in Scotland. It was part of something called Burn Song. Burns being Robert Burns, so
Yes.
obviously the Scottish bard as he's known. And it was a competition, so I entered a song that I had written, which was a setting of a Robert Louis Stevenson poem, Scottish poet, because
Wonderful.
that was my first forays into songwriting, was actually setting poetry by other people. I found the music much easier than the words, and I also felt like I didn't have much to say as a kid. You know, I hadn't had much
That's
experience in life,
honest. I love
and so
that.
I just sort of I, you know, having come from the choral tradition of singing various settings of the same text, that was in my musical bones already. You know, this idea that you take a text and you create a new version of it. I create a new musical version of this text. So I did the setting of a Robert Louis Stevenson poem, and that ended up winning me this place on this songwriting retreat. And that was an incredibly inspiring week in Scotland. And I remember meeting Corinne Polwart. I don't know if anyone knows her who's listening, but she's a fantastic Scottish folk singer and songwriter, and also has written lots of concept works and musicals and that kind of thing as well. And she's just the loveliest person, and she actually has a song called Daisy.
Oh,
And
wow.
she sang it on this week. There was a concert series that went with the songwriting week, and she dedicated it to me on stage, and I was so touched. And I felt like, wow, I want to be able to do that for the next generation myself. You know, I like the idea of, you know, being the inspiration for somebody else, like she is for me, you know.
That's
And
gorgeous. That's
yeah, so that
gorgeous.
was one of those key moments, I suppose, for me. So that first experience of experiencing that community of songwriters and looking up to somebody who I really admired, and them kind of reaching out to me and us having that connection, and how that spurred me on later on as well. And so that was, and I still stay in touch with some of the writers from that week. So it's lovely to have done that. And then later on, another songwriting retreat I did after All Angels stopped being active was an incredible one that Sir Ray Davies did. And I think we've talked about this a little bit before, because we
Yes.
have a mutual friend, Crawford Mack, who is
Oh,
also
yes, Crawford, who's a wonderful songwriter, folks. Check him out as well.
Yes, and he and I are both alumni of the Ray Davies songwriting retreats. And at different times, though, we didn't meet then, but we had the similar experience. And so, for anybody who doesn't know Ray Davies, sorry, Sir Ray Davies, he is one of the kind of main writers and singers of the Kinks, fantastic British
Yes.
band. And you will know some of the songs: Waterloo Sunset, Sunny Afternoon, Lola. I mean, there's just so
So
many.
many, so
And in
many.
fact, he's written a musical as well, called Sunny Afternoon, which is a kind of biopic of the band. Anyway, so he did these songwriting retreats a little while ago, and I was lucky enough to attend one of them. And yeah, his kind of incredible way outlook on songwriting and just the community and the kind of the different things that can inspire songs was definitely a big part of my, and like also his I don't know. He was very encouraging, and like said, you know, he basically took me under his wing after that and invited me to different events. And I sang at a studio, and that was a really like nice feeling to be kind of, I don't know, taken under the wing by somebody who's so incredible as a songwriter, and like it's touched so many people's lives. And so I guess in both of these scenarios, I'm talking about people who are kind of bigger songwriters who've kind of helped a younger upcoming songwriter. And I think it's that kind of community that you really get in the songwriting world. There's this sense of passing down the tradition and helping one another,
Interesting.
you
Okay.
know, despite the fact that these people were so much more successful than the likes of us. You know, they were willing to give their time and all their resources to us. And so it was that combination of, I guess, you know, that upward downward movement of, you know, these people who are higher up in this sort of hierarchy, if you want to call it that, who were reaching down and helping, but also that sort of sideways community. So I'm using my hands, which doesn't really help because you on a podcast you can't see me.
Well,
if you can imagine what a
slight parentheses here. So Daisy is addressing myself, Lara, who is Mediterranean, who only communicates with her hands. So for me, this is very normal. This is sorry, I had to throw that in there. Please use your hands, Daisy. Go on.
So I'm trying to just say that there was this sort of this both this sort of upward downward kind of like community of like the mentor and the mentee, and then this wider community that was like your peers, who that became a big part of me, my development as a songwriter as well, being inspired by people who I was writing with or hearing the songs that they were writing. And also just the community aspect, the encouragement we give each other, support. And that has meant that I've, you know, been able to grow more and also help other people. And yeah, and I think with more people, you know, you more opportunities arise. And I've always been somebody who loves collaboration and
which
yeah,
is
I
going
love
to
those
be my
new
next. Oh,
yeah.
You
Oh, good. Perfect.
You segued right into it, Daisy. So, I love that. And I think it's important to note here, folks, that Daisy said something which resonates with me personally, and I think should be put into practice to an even larger extent. The idea that songwriting actually happens because it's one of the most powerful means of communication, I think, as far as music is concerned. I mean, singers, arrangers, composers, conductors, we thrive on songs, on compositions. So it has to be shared. So describing the process of songwriting, you're basically saying, which I'm really grateful that you've said that, you're basically saying that it can only get better if you do it in a community. And that's actually spot on, because I think the trend nowadays, looking at the younger generation of songwriters, which we'll talk about a little bit at the end as well, because I'm sure you have some very sage advice for them. I noticed that the younger generation, although very, very talented, I feel that they sometimes feel like they're a bit on their own because of the fact that when we grew up, and we're not that much older, obviously, but when we grew up, we were very much going to places in person, you know, doing the work behind the scenes, as you said, and really making ourselves seen and heard. Whereas now you can kind of use the internet, you know, to facilitate wonderful things. But I do feel that there is a lack of organic development with the younger generation because they have a different kind of drive than we do. I just wanted to know your thoughts about that. What do you think is the issue?
It's an interesting one. Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, I when you look at technology, I mean, obviously it's wonderful what we can do, but it's also slightly prohibitive in the sense that because you can do something online, you end up doing it online and not in person, or you end up, you know, you can sing the theme tune, write the theme tune. there's a you know, that I'm quoting this silly thing, this
Little
TV
Britain
show. Yeah. That definitely ages me as well. Anyway, but what that is referring to basically is the idea of doing everything, which you can do, but doesn't mean you should do it. You know, I think being, you know, of course we can loop ourselves and make a whole beautiful musical collage that way. And you know, look at Jacob Collier. He's an example of somebody who does everything himself, and it's incredible. But I think there's something in that power of community and what somebody who's not you can bring to it that you can't even imagine, you know. And I think there's space for all of it, but I know what you mean. There's a trend towards the sort of solo performer who either loops all their own stuff or like creates their own band just as themselves. I think about like Ed Sheeran. You know, he tours around these arenas on his own with a loop pedal, which and I guess is an amazing feat in some form. But then you think, gosh, if I was him, I would be like wanting to play with some of my favorite musicians ever. You know, I'd want to collaborate. I'd want to showcase other people. I'd want to like have an orchestra. I'd want to have a choir. You know, I'd want to like do all the big things you can when you have a big budget. There's something quite brave, of course, about just doing it on your own, and something quite human as well, and that people can relate to. And as you say, that generational thing of people, you know, with a selfie kind of phone, you know, sorry, that doesn't make any sense, you know, like doing a sort of selfie video or whatever, a photo, everybody can relate to that because everybody can do that. And there's no kind of, there's no barrier to do that, I suppose. Well, there's very few barriers compared to other things. So So that I can see the appeal of it, but I think, yeah, I think I'm personally somebody who loves collaboration and loves that kind of community and that going back and forth with somebody, that conversation. And it's like the old-fashioned philosophers, it's dialogues, you know. It's, when I say old-fashioned,
Absolutely.
sorry, I'm, you
Yep.
know,
Yes,
talking about
yes.
Plato, Aristotle, all these people who you know, it's all about the conversation, the back and forth, and
Yes.
the
Yes.
somebody kind of questioning an idea, and then, you know, and sometimes it's, and then creating something else because of that conversation, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, in musical terms, it's call and response. You know, you're compo and you're ta you essentially, you know, in the words of so many, as you said, the ancient Greeks, the ancient Egyptians, and then, you know, Sufi music, blues music, my gosh, every conceivable traditional form of music is centered around the idea of human ideas, rather, of human connection and storytelling. And I think it's incredible. And I think that when we compose music, and I'm aware that you do the same thing, especially when we're collaborating with others, there's this instantaneous magic that happens in the moments, which you can kind of replicate, but also you can take it to, you know, the furthest degree by just composing a song, you know, and that's you're so you're capturing that human connection and story in that beautiful 3 to, I don't know, 15 minute, if you're a classical composer, song. So speaking of songs and compositions and beautiful sounds, I'm going to go ahead and play Dust of a Star
Oh,
from
thank you.
your EP Songs of Solace, which again, folks, just won the Fetea Award. So I'm very, 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 very happy to play it. Have a listen.
Thank you.
To send me a sign that you and I are gonna be fine, that all we need is all that we are, the dust of a star. Find the words to tell you that I'm in love with you and all that you are, the dust of a star. And if we only have a day.
Beautiful. I've been playing that all morning. I think that Daisy's voice, you can obviously hear the nuances of a very, very well-trained classical voice, but you can hear the beautiful emotional falsetto of a folk singer. And you can hear this very authentic delivery. And what I love about Daisy's voice as a songwriter, as a singer-songwriter, is that she manages, you manage, Daisy, since I'm looking at you, to really interpret your own melodic lines. I don't know how else to describe it. It's as if someone else wrote the song for you and you're performing it, which is incredible. And I think that's, you know what I mean? And I think that's the pinnacle of becoming what you are, an acclaimed singer-songwriter. You've written songs that are so powerful and good. Let's just call them for what they are. They're so good that it's as if when you come round to performing them, someone else written them for you, which is great. I think that's such a good quality.
Thank you so much.
Of course. And I think that going back to our wonderful conversation, you touched upon, which I think is imperative in this day and age, upon the fact that you love collaborating. And I know that, I mean, I wish we had a whole other hour to talk about all your wonderful collaborations. I know of a few, but I'd like to talk about two in particular, if you don't mind. I know that you've collaborated recently with Ed Blunt, another singer-songwriter, and I know that you're writing a musical, and that's one thing that I wanted to point out, that songwriting has become this huge genre where, you know, you can write songs as a songwriter for musicals, following in the traditions of, you know, beautiful artists like Sara Bareilles, who happens to be, you know, exactly. So we're going to go back, rewind, and you're just going to go ahead and tell me about all the beautiful collabs with Ed Blunt and Cohen.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So thank you very much. Yeah. So Ed Blunt and I, we wrote quite a number of songs last year together, in fact. And we actually had known each other from classical choral world. I was teaching a vocal workshop and he was accompanying the choir. It was, you know, maybe about 5 years ago or something, and we met each other then, and I immediately thought, wow, he's a good player, he obviously knows what he's doing. And we connected a little bit online, but we didn't really have any other contact until last year, I think it was, or maybe the year before, where both of our songs were nominated and I think had won different categories of a songwriting competition online. And and so he got in touch and said, oh, we'd love to write a song with you. I didn't, you know, I'm now doing songwriting, and I hadn't realized he was, you know. And so it's like, oh yeah, we should do that. And we put in a date in the diary, and then diaries got moved and we never managed to do it. But then a few months later, we ended up on the same songwriting retreat that Chris Difford runs. So I don't know if you know Chris Difford, but he's the he's one of the members of Squeeze, the band, and other band members include Jules Holland and other people. And he's a fantastic songwriter and singer, and
he is indeed.
Yeah, and he's not one of those people who connects people as well. So he has these songwriting retreats he has for many years now, connecting again that idea of sort of more established songwriters with up and coming songwriters, and from all over the world, and so mostly America and the UK, but other places too. And the retreat we did was in a beautiful house near Glastonbury May.
Talk about inspiration.
Yeah, very much so. And it was a week of writing with different people, and everybody. So Beth Nielsen Chapman was there, if you know her. She's incredible. Oh, yes. Singer-songwriter I've loved for many years, and so that led to me also singing a bit with her last year, which was really fantastic for me as a fan. But also people like Judy Sook, who is an incredible singer and songwriter, and actually a friend of mine anyway, kind of from a mutual friend that we share, Vin Goodwin. Shout out to Vin, who's another singer-songwriter also writing a musical, by the way. And so yeah, it's all a bit of a small world, and you know, Jamie Lawson was there as well, and all these great people, and Ed Blunt was also there, and so we wrote a song together that week, and then we just kept writing the rest of the year. We kept on having writing sessions, and we've written about 5 or 6 songs now, either just the two of us or with other people, like with Holly Rogers. We did a session with her as well. And yeah, so we released one of the songs that we wrote as a kind of live version, which is called We All Need Someone. And it's a song about, we released actually on Mental Health Day in October. And it's a song about, yeah, sort of not being afraid to, you know, reach out and ask for help when you need it. And because we all need somebody, we all need
I've listened to this, folks. You should listen to it. It's got so many. Well, I think it pretty much sounds like a very young Carole King.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I really I really like it. And I like the fact that it's very, very spaced out. I'm so sorry to interrupt you because we're going to run out of time very soon. So
yes,
I'd like to play one more song of yours, and then we're going to talk about Coven. But folks, go ahead and listen. It's on YouTube to Ed Blunt and Daisy Shute. And we're going to play another one of Daisy's songs. This time we're going to play Cradle Songs from her EP, Cradle Songs. Again, lost for words. And I really urge you to listen to that entire EP. It's beautiful. And at the very end, I'm going to play another one of Daisy's songs. But for now, as I said, folks, whoever's tuning in, I wish I had 2 whole hours with Daisy, because just listening to her, I don't even have to ask questions. I just pop in here and there with a, you know, sort of segue into something else. And she was just telling us about the wonderful collaborations she's had, in particular her last retreat, the Christopher Retreat, where she was, you know, in the same room with many of your inspirations. So before we talk very briefly about your work with Coven, the musical, I'd like to just ask, as a singer-songwriter, and we have to say it, as a female singer-songwriter, do you think you get very, very inspired mostly by female songwriters, or is it everybody? I'd like you to maybe have a...
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, because I know this is all about women as well, this podcast.
This is all about women and shared ownership, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And I'm, you know, very much a feminist, and I have one of my collectives is a female collective in folk music, particularly called the Herd Collective.
Yes.
And we are all about, you know, propping up the female songwriting voice, and in whatever way we can, in the power we have. But I mean, absolutely. I'm very much inspired by every kind of writer, and actually I have a long list of male writers I'm inspired by as well. And so I'm not, in terms of my inspiration, I'm not kind of prejudiced one way or the other. But certainly I know that in terms of the kind of gender balance in the music industry, we know that we've all read the statistics. It's not particularly in women's favor for a lot of the time when it comes to songwriting and festival bills and this kind of thing.
And even
the award ceremonies and all that kind of thing as well. So it's definitely, there's a long way to go. And that's not just in the music industry, that's in a lot of industries. And in fact, my next EP is all about women's experiences, in fact. So it's called Maiden, Mother, Crone.
Wonderful.
And each of the songs are about different parts of the female experience. Mm-hmm. And Maiden, Mother, Crone is actually a pagan kind of deity, a triple goddess deity. And so it's inspired by that idea of the different phases in a woman's life. So,
oh, wow. This
is
brilliant.
You'll hear more about that in the future, I'm sure. But and if you find me online, you can find all my posts about it. But yeah, I'm very much interested in women's experiences. And that's also brings me to the
Coven,
chatting about
which
Coven.
Is an all-female production and
it is,
extravaganza.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So that, coven is obviously a word for a group of witches, mm-hmm. and so that the clues in the title that the musical is about witches. It's about the witch trials that happened in the 17th century in Lancashire, in mm-hmm. England, mm-hmm. and of course that they were not isolated. There were many witch trials around the world, and still are, sadly. And the famous ones, of course, we talk about a lot are Salem in America with Arthur Miller's Crucible, but that is very small by comparison to the witch craze that happened across Europe before that. And so this is just a little example of one of the stories, which is very moving, about Pendle witches and a family that end up being executed based on the 10-year-old daughter's testimony. And so,
and then
it's following her story and following what happens to her later. 20 years later, she herself is accused of being a witch by a 10-year-old boy. And so we're following this story and following her psychological journey through that, and meanwhile exposing some of the things that were happening at the time. And all with, punctuated with songs that are, in the kind of folky style, but also a little bit of rock in there and a few other influences as well. And as you say, very much inspired by other singer-songwriters who've done similar things with musicals recently, Sarah Bareilles being one with Waitress, mm-hmm. Anais Mitchell, another one with Hadestown.
Yes.
Love very
examples.
Dearly.
Mm.
And so many more. And I'm very lucky that we have a producer who is working with those kind of people as well, and in fact we're involved with some of them, and also with Florence the Machine's new musical.
So
yeah, there's a lot of great people involved, and I'm very lucky, and I'm not the only one writing this musical. I should say I'm collaborating with two incredible writers, Rebecca Brewer, mm-hmm. and Morgan Lloyd Malcolm. So the three of us are writing this together, and yeah, there's lots more to come, hopefully.
Gosh, woman, this is incredible. Again, everyone listening, I guess, again, you've answered my question. So to conclude, and again, I keep saying this, we need at least 2 more hours at Daisy Chutes, but maybe she'll come back.
Yeah, I'd love to.
So thank you. So I think that I want to say that the journey of being a singer-songwriter, to sum up in your, wonderful experience, which is just so rich and diverse, you've really stopped at nothing. to just improve. And you know, one thing I'd like to point out is that it's a kind of inspiration to the younger generation to feel, you know, that yes, you can get to places, but you have to do two things really when you collaborate with people: respect them, be kind to them, know that those people helping you are the reason, you know, one of the reasons why you're going to make it, so to speak. So I think you're a great example of that, because you've expressed such gratitude to your fellow songwriters, which is something very remarkable. And second, you know, you've stopped, as I said, you've stopped at nothing to just grow. And the fact that you're writing this musical is incredible. And I can't wait for it to come out. And I would just like to ask you, is there one thing in general that you'd like to offer as a piece of, I want to say, sound advice, pun intended, to the younger generation in this world? If they want to pursue songwriting as a career, what would you say?
Oh, I feel like this is so, so hard to distill that, isn't it, in such a short time as well. But I think, I mean, I'm constantly on this journey of improving and finessing and learning and always being open to new experiences, new ideas, new inspirations. So I think just never stop learning, really, never stop playing and experimenting. And, you know, I don't know. And also, you know, reach out to other people for help, you know, whether it's your fellow songwriters or your teachers, or anyone else you can think of. You know, it's a community, and it's, you know, they're there to help you as you are there to help them as well. So
exactly. Would you say that it's important, no matter what, to remain very much your own independent force of nature when you're getting yourself out there? Would you say that?
Yes, I would. I think I think it's important to maintain your independence as much as you can. But of course, you know, within, you know, reason, you want to get help when you can. But I think it's I think being an independent kind of person helps, because there's a lot of work you need to do that is not the fun stuff. As I said at the beginning of the call, the admin is never ending, but you have to kind of keep going, powering through, so that you can get to the good stuff, which is the creativity.
Exactly. And we're going to end on this beautiful note, folks. So Daisy goes on tour soon, and I want you to go ahead and check her tour dates. Daisy, could you just spell out your website for us so we can find out more?
No worries. Yeah, thank you. Daisy Chut, so Daisy, like the flower, Chut, Chute.com. And then you can find all my dates and all my social media handles there.
Thank you so much, Daisy. It's been such fun. Thank you so much for coming on The Notes Between with myself. This is Lara Eady for Women in Jazz Media. And I'm going to end with another one of Daisy's brilliant songs, Lionize, which pretty much, I think, is a autobiographical song, folks. Have a listen. Take care.
Thank you.
Honey, head, body white, you turn my water into wine, and on the water walk the you love the lonely, hear the weak, a voice for those who cannot speak, and eyes for those who cannot see. But you are blind when you hide behind lion eyes and lullabies crucified. But I will rise up, lion eyes and you wanna say. Do what you gotta do now. Take what you're taking away. I will rise up. You can say what you wanna say. Do what you gotta do now. Take what you're taking away.